1-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
How many times have you seen the UN Security Council vote unanimously, now twice in a row, to impose stronger sanctions on North Korea?
Defense Secretary James Mattis talking about North Korea and the military options against that country. He says right now, the military has only one real option.
There's one thing the U.S. Army can do, and that is you have got to be ready to ensure that we have military options that our president can employ if needed.
At least 20,000 acres in Sonoma County and another 5,000 now destroyed in Napa County by two major wildfires. The Tubbs and Atlas fires that started during high winds last night have also destroyed numerous homes, wineries, and vineyards throughout wine country. The fires are considered zero contained, so the full damage assessment hasn't even begun. USA Radio News.
Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies.
I'm 75 years old, and I don't eat enough vegetables or fruit, and this is a great thing to do, and it seems that I have more energy. It seems that, you know, I take that, and I take a lot of, blood pressure pills and cholesterol, but my doctor tells me, he said, now you might cut the dosage down on your pills, because what are you taking? I said, Balance of Nature. He said, he didn't know what it was, so I told him, I said, it's fruits and vegetables condensed into little pill form. He goes, well, whatever it is, it's doing you a lot of good.
Good health is only a phone call away. What are you waiting for? Don't miss your opportunity to get a free month's supply of Balance of Nature. Call 1-800-246-8751. That's 1-800-246-8751. Or go online to balanceofnature.com.
Use promo code USA.
It looks like online giant Amazon is going to get involved in the prescription drug business.
One analyst tells CNBC he expects the retail superpower will be offering prescription drugs online very soon.
When you think about the 60% of households that are Prime subscribers, prescriptions play a key role. So I don't think this is a matter of if, but it's a matter of when.
NYU Stern marketing professor Scott Galloway. Consumers already get their prescription medications online from companies like CVS, Costco, Walgreens, and Walmart. The so-called Amazon effect usually means a seismic shift for consumers and competition, and typically drives down costs. CNBC reports Amazon will decide before Thanksgiving whether to move into the pharmaceutical market.
Republican Senator Bob Corker is attacking President Trump on social media. He said President Trump's threats to other countries could lead to World War III. Corker recently announced he won't be running for re-election. The president said that he wouldn't have been backing him for re-election anyway. USA Radio News.
When you're hiring, you want qualified candidates fast, and it can be hard to know where to find them. More than 3 million businesses use Indeed.com, the world's number one job site. Whether you need entry-level or highly skilled employees, Indeed helps you find great talent and make the right hire. Indeed is offering new users a $50 credit to give their first job post premium visibility as a sponsored job. Redeem this offer at Indeed.com/promo. That's Indeed.com/promo. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
A viral video has led to the loss of a job for a Miami Dolphins football coach. Correspondent Chris Barnes with the story.
But I think about you when I do it.
The Miami Dolphins offensive line coach Chris Forster reportedly resigning rather than being fired by the team. It's still not clear if the substance the coach recorded himself inhaling is cocaine. The video is of him speaking apparently to a woman who was supposed to be seeing the message.
Think about how much I miss you, how high we got together, how much fun it was.
Instead, the recording ends up on social media where it receives widespread viewership. The Dolphins reportedly believe the incident happened inside one of their buildings on their time. I'm Chris Barnes.
Vice President Mike Pence in California today after leaving a football game yesterday because of the protest of players. Jason Campidonia has the story.
The VP is scheduled to host a $2,700 a plate lunch in Newport Beach at a private country club today to raise money for Republicans running for office. Over the weekend, Pence and his wife left a football game early because some of the players took a knee during the national anthem. President Trump tweeted that he asked Pence to leave if the players kneeled, and Pence tweeted that he won't support any event that disrespects the anthem. Critics are calling the Pence walkout a PR stunt.
EPA Chief Scott Pruitt planning to roll back Obama-era clean power rules. Speaking in Kentucky today, Pruitt said he's set to sign a proposed rule to start undoing the Obama administration's restrictions on power plants. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Good afternoon. The weather today for Columbus Day, showers and possibly a thunderstorm, probably before 4 o'clock. Then a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 4 o'clock, the high near 79. Southwest winds 16 to 18 miles per hour, but you may have gusts as high as 34 miles an hour. The chance of precipitation is 80%. New rainfall amounts between a tenth and a quarter of an inch, except higher amounts possible if you're in a thunderstorm area. Tonight, there's a slight chance of showers before 2 a.m., then cloudy, then gradually becoming partly cloudy with a low around 62, southwest winds 5 to 7 miles an hour, and they'll become northwest after midnight. Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high near 82, northwest winds 3 to 7 miles an hour, and Tuesday night will be partly cloudy with a low around 55 and northwest winds 3 to 5 miles an hour. Wednesday, a chance of showers after 2 p.m., it'll be mostly cloudy with a high near 70, east winds around 9 miles an hour, and the chance of precipitation is a possible 30%. Wednesday night, chance of showers, cloudy with a low around 54, and a chance of precipitation is about 40%. Thursday, chance of showers, but then it's going to be partly sunny with a high near 65, and Thursday night will be mostly cloudy with a low around 54.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Good afternoon and welcome to Mental Health Matters. This is, I'm the host, Larry Cartwright, and this is NAMI's Hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. And Mental Health Matters is an award-winning radio show, like I said, by NAMI, and NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. There is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterdon County, we're all volunteers. We have no office, no paid staff, work out of our houses, and use our own phones, that sort of thing. And what we try to do is we try to help people who either have someone in their family or they know someone or friends with someone or work with someone who have a mental health issue. And we do it in various ways. We have what they call a support group for those people who can come and talk and you know, listen to other people who have similar problems or have gone through it before. Everything is totally confidential, and you don't have to register or anything like that. And it's held the third Thursday of every month at 52 East Main Street, which is also known as the Getting Together Center. We also run a 12-week class from 7 to 9:30 at the same address, 52 East Main Street, which deals with medications, side effects, what to say, what not to say, what to do, what not to do in certain circumstances. And it tries to put the person taking the class in the position to understand a little bit better what the person with the illness is going through. For that, you have to register, but it doesn't cost anything. Everything we do is free. There's no cost. All the material and everything is free. If you have any questions and you want to reach out or you have a question about something else or whatever that we can help you with, you can call us at 908-284-0500. That's 908-284-0500. We don't have someone man that phone 24/7, but we do have someone who checks it at least twice a day, and we promise you we will get back to you. And today, we're very privileged to have with us John Haspel, who is a meditation and mindfulness teacher at Cross River Meditation Center in Frenchtown And John is also the author of The Truth of Happiness. Correct, John?
Yeah, okay. That's correct.
And Becoming Buddha and The Spiritual Solution. And John is also the founder of Mindful-Based Recovery. We also have with us Matthew, and I'm probably going to murder your name, Branham?
Branham.
Okay, I said it. All right. Matthew is a licensed acupuncture, and that is I'm going to murder, and a Tai Chi and Kwai Gong instructor.
Tai Chi and Qigong.
Tai Chi and Qigong. Okay. Instructor. And Matthew is also the owner of Healing Path Acupuncture with offices in Frenchtown and Hopewell.
Excellent.
Okay, very good. And welcome to both of you. I really appreciate you coming and being here. It's a pleasure to have you back.
Thank you.
And discuss a little bit about what you do and how you help people and so on and so forth.
Thank you, Larry.
John, are you still with the medical center?
No, actually, we just stopped teaching up in Clinton just a few weeks ago. So all my classes now are at Crossover Meditation Center.
Okay, and that is the one in Frenchtown?
Yep.
And you also have something in Pennsylvania, don't you?
Or no.
No, okay, so it's in Frenchtown. Okay.
Yeah.
John, I'm going to stay with you for a second.
Sure.
What's the difference between mindfulness and meditation?
It's a really good question. Mindfulness is more a quality of mind, meaning a well-focused mind within certain parameters, and I'll qualify that.
There you go.
Just a second. Meditation is a method, and there's an infinite number of methods. I teach one very specific method for deepening concentration. And it's a well-concentrated mind that can then be mindful of certain principles. And being mindful of these certain principles helps develop a life that is free of stress, especially our own contributions to stress, simply because we're seeing things clearly. So you could say that meditation deepens concentration so that we can be mindful of certain principles that are the truth of our own reality. How's that for an answer?
Yeah, that sounds pretty good to me.
Many people, the reason why it's an important distinction is many people think that meditation itself is mindfulness. In other words, I teach a meditation method where we are mindful of our breath, we're aware of our breath, and we use that as a focus to deepen concentration. And so you could say that that's an aspect of mindfulness, but we're using that to develop a broader framework in which to apply that quality of mind.
Okay. Meditating and mindfulness is sort of foggy in my aged mind. Can anyone meditate?
Oh, I think so. Especially the method that I teach is very simple. It is just being mindful of the sensation of breathing in our bodies, which anybody can do. The difficulty that I found is some people just cannot seem to sit quietly. They have such an aversion to just sitting and doing nothing, which is surprising when you first say it. Can't you just sit and do nothing and just be mindful of your breath? But because of our constant need for distraction, we find it very, very difficult. So anybody can do it, but not everybody can continue to do it.
Okay. Yeah, it's, I guess if you're an active person, you know, totally active, I guess it's kind of hard to be required to sit for any length of time without, you know, I know some people that just, you know, they always on the go, they're always doing something, they're always, it's got to be done, that's got to be done, yada, 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 you know, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And I would imagine, me, I could sit for 2 hours and doze, you know, it wouldn't bother me at all, but that's me. Other people, you know, like I said, it might find it very difficult for them to, you know, sit still for a period of time and just concentrate on their breathing.
Yes.
You know, which is, I believe, what you're saying, isn't it?
Yep.
And go ahead.
Well, the one of the ways that I teach is to start with very short periods of time. In other words, if you start with just 2 or 3 minutes and engage in the proper method, nearly anyone can do that and then slowly build on that. But what I also, the way I also teach meditation is it's not just meditation. There's a broader framework to develop. It's something called an eightfold path. There's 7 other factors besides meditation. And by incorporating those other 7 factors, it becomes increasingly easier to just sit and meditate when you do that, when you develop the broader framework. So I've met many people that had a very, very distracted racing mind. And those at stake that really stick to it are able to develop a meditation practice within the broader framework. Matt and I have been running this center in Frenchtown for 7 years now, I guess. And it's surprising how many people that stuck to it in the method, that almost to a person they came saying, I can never do this. I'll never be able to sit quietly. There's quite a few regulars that come every week and have developed great benefit from doing this. So I think anybody can do it, but it does take an initial intention to actually want to do it.
Okay. Matthew. You're on the spot now.
Okay. I'm ready.
According to my understanding of Chinese medicine, there is a definite connection between the body and mental health.
Absolutely.
Could you explain what that connection is? And
sure. The connection between the body and mental health in Chinese medicine has to do with, one, how we're taking care of ourselves. So kind of to piggyback on what John's question was, what you'd asked John, about, you know, some people have very busy lives.
Mm-hmm.
They're always running to and fro, got to do this, got to do that. That has a toll, takes its toll both on the mind and the body.
Right.
So Chinese medicine is looking, and particularly this idea of self-care coming from nourishing. So when we nourish, we're cultivating a balance. We're cultivating what is appropriate. So when we're cultivating what's appropriate in our lives, we have to find a balance between getting everything done and also resting and taking care of ourselves. If we push it too much on either end, illness can happen,
okay,
whether it's mental illness or physical.
Physical illness, right. Okay. Now, I have to ask, you're an instructor in, was it?
Tai Chi
and what was it?
Qigong.
Would you explain that?
Sure, yeah.
Since I have no clue what that is.
Yeah. Tai Chi is a martial art and a form of, you can say, moving meditation. So there's many, as John said, there's many different methods of meditation. Tai Chi was developed probably in the early Ming Dynasty in China, which was back
okay.
in probably the 13, 1400s.
Right.
All Chinese martial arts came from a fighting system.
Mm-hmm.
This, where, you know, strength and speed and agility and quickness are all characteristics and qualities that you need to develop if you're going to survive in sort of feudal times. That's what Tai Chi came out of. But Tai Chi is sort of the opposite. It's done, you know, maybe you've seen pictures of people in the park practicing slow motion movement, very calming, very relaxing, coordinating the breathing with movement. This has the ability to sort of reprogram the central nervous system to not reacting with tension and fear, really, when brought into a martial situation or a combat situation. So when typically in Western culture, we're taught to meet force with force or to resist force. What that ends up doing is creates tension in the body. When we create tension in the body, instantly we evaporate our oxygen supplies, which means we don't have enough oxygen to the brain to make a calm, focused decision about whether to run and get the heck out of there or to stand our ground and do our best with our martial training. So Tai Chi, practicing slow motion movements, really emphasizes relaxation and emphasizes softness and listening as a way of reprogramming that habitual pattern of meeting force with force or acting with tension.
Now, Is there different phases for people who may have certain physical constrictions, put it for lack of a better word?
That's a great question. Yeah. There's been a number of developments in Tai Chi, obviously, since the 1400s.
You would think. Yeah.
So there are plenty of things, both in with Qigong, which we can think of Qigong as sort of the alphabet to Tai Chi. Tai Chi is this series of movements, a sequence, a form that we'll call the poetry or the words that's then created and expressed from the alphabet of Qigong, which is just very simple, usually static postures, either done seated, standing, which, you know, is especially seated, people of all ages and health conditions can usually engage in that. And so it still has great benefit even when seated.
Okay. Because the reason I was asking, because I had both my knees replaced, and there's certain things I can't do.
Yeah.
Stairs are not my best thing. I mean, and the doctor told me, he says, well, you know, I said, well, I live on a ranch. He says, be thankful, you know. Yeah. And my wife always goes for walks. Well, I belong to a gym. And she always goes to walk for where we live. It's all woods and, you know, a walk to her is around the block, and that's almost 2.5 miles. So I went with her one time, and I was dying by the time I got back. And he said, well, it's because it's up and down. Yeah. He says, if you're going to walk, try to walk level. Well, where I live, there's no such thing as level, right. You know, because we live on top of a mountain, and it's, you know. But I was, so that's why I was just curious.
Yeah, there's, you know, Tai Chi is now seen as sort of the preeminent exercise for balance issues. So people with Parkinson's, people with gait and mobility issues that have difficulty.
People who at old age who have.
Even old age. Even
well, you know,
the
it
common
is true,
problem of old age.
It is. It really is. Speaking from experience, it is.
So it's a way to, again, doing things slowly, doing things in a very deliberate manner helps to repattern the body, helps to change the body's habitual action of moving too quickly, trying to get things done. You know, we sort of have a program of, you know, certainly culturally programmed,
right,
of moving very fast, and time is money, and we need to get things done. And that's good for some things, but it has to be in balance, otherwise we can get illness.
Right, right. You're up, John.
Well, I was just listening to Matt. I think that any deliberate action that we take physically or say it on the outside is going to affect how we think and how we feel on the outside, on the inside. And so that deliberate action of just taking slow, gentle movements is reflected in the quality of our mind. And so what Matt and I both are doing at Crossover Meditation Center, has bringing it into the context of the mental health field, has a direct benefit that way. You know, an aspect of one aspect of mental illness is a mind that you feel like you just don't have control over, that your thoughts are driving you.
Right.
And so meditation and mindfulness within a proper context develops that ability to think what you want to think when you want to think it. And what Matt does only complements and enhances that, because it's a direct action. You're not moving in a way that is driven by your thoughts. You're moving in a way that drives your thoughts, and they're very powerful techniques that are so beneficial to so many people. You know, the Chinese had something going that's it's lasted a long, long time.
Evidently, yes.
Yeah.
I have to ask, when you were saying earlier about breathing, how would you explain that? I mean, you know, what is it? You take a breath in, you hold it, or what do you do?
It's a good question. You don't do anything except be aware of the sensation of breathing in your body. And the reason why that's important is every time you meditate, your breath is likely to be experienced differently. In other words, sometimes you might feel like you're breathing very quickly. Other times you may have a shallow breath. Other times you might naturally be breathing deeply. It doesn't matter. When you start a meditation practice, however you find yourself breathing, just be mindful of that. And what will happen very shortly for most people is you'll start thinking again. You'll start getting caught up in the story of your life. When you recognize that and come back to that sensation of breathing, no matter how it is, you're deepening concentration. And that's the important point. When you remember that meditation is for deepening concentration, no matter what's occurring, as long as you're coming back to the breath, however it is presenting itself, will deepen that concentration. And the reason why I say that is we can develop these methods of manipulating our breath. In fact, meditation is often taught that way, to do it, to develop these certain different types of breath and use that as a meditation practice. And that really just furthers distraction. So however you find your breath is the way you should engage with your breath.
Okay. I understand, Matthew, from what I said earlier, that you're in... you're the owner of the Healing Path Acupuncture.
Yes.
Okay. I had a lady on, I want to say, about 9-10 months ago, and she was an acupuncturist at the hospital. And she said, and we were still in the other building, and she says to me, can I show you what it's like? I says, on the air? She said, because we were on the air. And she says, yeah. She says, do a commercial. I'll show you what it's like. So I did a commercial. And while I did the commercial, she stuck these pins in my head and my arms and, yeah, you know, thing. And I did the rest of the show with these things in. And there was no medicine or anything on them. They were just pins that she stuck in, mm-hmm, just to show what acupuncture was. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, I didn't feel a thing. Yeah. I didn't feel her stick it in my head. I'm going, you got to put it in my head? And she says, yeah, you won't feel it. Okay, I trust you. So she did, and I didn't feel a thing. What is the purpose of acupuncture?
So acupuncture is the oldest form of medicine on the planet. So the placement of really Bronze Age technology, we're talking about filiform needles, mm-hmm, that were found, in various cave burials in China, 6,000-7,000 years ago. So this is something that's been going on for a long time and has had thousands of years of, human testing, testing on humans. But the purpose of acupuncture is to, what are called channels, acupuncture channels, and these are discrete, we can consider them bioelectric resonance fields that are representative of the organ systems themselves. So, for example, you have a large intestine channel as well as a large intestine organ.
Right.
And that large intestine channel runs in a particular trajectory from, in this case, the tip of your index finger all the way up to the opposite side of your nose. So while it traverses many different muscle groups, it's all one continuous discrete channel.
Okay.
So placing needles in acupuncture points along that channel is a way to promote or stimulate the body's own self-regulatory system. So Chinese medicine looks at the body as a self-regulatory system, meaning it was designed perfectly to fix itself. And given the proper conditions, it will do that. You know, you have a cut heals after a certain amount of time. You have a broken bone, you don't have a hospital anywhere near you, you set it, it'll heal after several weeks. So the body is designed to do this, and it will do that. Acupuncture and Chinese herbal medicine help to promote those conditions in the body and support that self-regulatory system.
Now, if someone has a back problem, like, for example, a doctor told me that there is, and I have a problem, it's not excruciating pain, but it's painful sometimes. There's a nerve that's being pinched back there. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I can get it operated on and get it fixed. But he says, if you can live with it, you're better off just living with it, you know, rather than get it operated on. He says, operating on your back and stuff, you know. So if someone comes to you, like I come to you, okay?
Sure.
Matt, this is what we've got, you know, what do we do? So what would you do?
So one, I would ask you several questions. One, I'd have you move around and ask you, okay, what movements make this problem worse? Is it worse with movement? Is it worse with sitting? Is it worse with lying down? Is it worse with walking? Just to get a sense of how this is affecting your life daily. Then I want to know...
Bending is not great.
Right.
You know, picking stuff off the floor, that sort of thing.
Right.
I mean, I do it, obviously, but, you know.
So then I'll sort of palpate the channels using touch to kind of run my fingers along the channel that may be what we considered sick. So the mm-hmm. disease channel would be something, okay, that's where the problem is. Then I would use an alternate channel somewhere else on your body that I would treat with acupuncture. That way, I could have you move your body, move around, recreate the motion that causes you pain, like bending over. If I put a needle in your back where you said the pain was, you couldn't bend over, you couldn't do the different things that you would need to do to see the change from the acupuncture. So that's what that would be one way that we would we'd work with that. I'd want you to, I'd give you acupuncture, and then I'd want you to move around to recreate that sensation and to see how it changed.
Okay, that's interesting. What, John, when people begin to meditate or begin meditation, was the Buddha the first meditator?
Well, that's another good question. No, he wasn't. There were forms of meditation, I'm using the term loosely, prior to the Buddha's time. The Buddha was born Siddhartha Gautama. That was his family given name. And he talks about prior to his awakening experience when he was given the appellation Buddha. That's what that means, awaken. He talks about engaging in different meditation techniques that were common at the time that he developed. He mastered them, and he rejected them as not being helpful for what he was looking at. There is some literature that states that the Greeks were meditating and using different meditation techniques prior to the Buddha's awakening. What was significant about what Siddhartha Gautama developed was the simple method, but within the broader framework that supports meditation in a way that I don't think was present before, and it's really not around. It's really not integrated much even after, except within the framework that he taught.
Okay. I know we were talking before about mindfulness and meditation, and you're not saying that they're cures for mental health issues, but can be used in conjunction with a person's treatment and et cetera.
Yes.
How does that interact then with their treatment and such?
This is really meditation, and then in the broader sense, mindfulness is really just one factor of self-care and dealing directly with the problems of the way that a person thinks. And I think one of the most powerful ways that it's helpful, especially when it's developed in the way it's meant to be developed, it starts empowering people. I know a lot of people that suffer from mental illness. Years and years ago, I was on 9 different medications for depression and anxiety. So I know what that's like. And I think one of the most difficult things is you feel like you have no control over what's going on in your life. And most of the modalities that are taught, and that's certainly not all of them, but most of them aren't self-empowering. And this is something that anybody can do on their own with the aid of a qualified teacher. And the right method, that they can directly impact their mental health and physical health in a way that's self-empowering. You're taking control over your right. over the situation, and that's probably more important than anything, I think.
Yeah. You know? And you know, I don't want to think that this is just about mental health, because it's not. It's about physical health. It's about, you know, keeping people in shape and so on and so forth. It's not just I lean to mental health because of, you know, whatever, but I just want everybody to understand it's not totally mental health. I mean, yeah, it has something to do with a person's mental health when they're doing it, but not necessarily the disease mental health.
Oh yeah, it really is for anyone.
Right.
Again, a proper method can only enhance anybody's life.
Mm-hmm.
You gain the ability, again, like I said, it's an important saying that I repeat, which is actually from a sutta from the Buddha, a teaching from the Buddha. You actually gain the ability to think what you want to think when you want to think it. And in anybody's life, whether it's in your business career, in your personal affairs, having that ability can only enhance your life and usually the people around you too.
And I think you may have mentioned it before, but, you know, my retention isn't always the greatest as I get older.
You need to meditate.
Yeah, you're probably right. You had said that there's different types of meditation?
Yes.
And how many different types are there?
Oh, there's
numerous, huh?
Yeah. Thousands and thousands.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize there were that many.
Yeah, it's nearly an infinite number.
Well, what are the ones that you use?
I use only one. It's called Shamatha Vipassana. Shamatha is an ancient Pali word which means to quiet the mind or develop a tranquil mind. And Vipassana, again, is a word that means insight, but it's a very specific type of insight. And in general, that insight is to the workings of yourself and understanding how that relates to the rest of the world. And so it takes this method that quiets the mind, develops a tranquil mind that allows for this type of insight, really self-understanding, to occur.
Okay. Matthew. What got you into this?
Well, let's see. I've always been fascinated with the process of mind and body. Early on, you know, I became interested in Native American ceremony and various different kinds of ancient practices. Psychology, obviously, philosophy, history, those were all things that mm-hmm. I looked to and was very interested in. I got my start in acupuncture back in 1999 in Berkeley, California, at the Acupressure Institute, and I thought, wow, this is really a very direct way of working with people on a physical level, but also emotionally, mentally, spiritually. So it struck me the impact that just holding acupressure points or doing massage work or having a conversation with someone about these principles, how deep it was and how it really affected people. So that led me to go to the source. In 1999, I went and traveled around Southeast Asia and China looking for people who had experience with this and looking to learn, to mm-hmm. study.
Mm-hmm.
And so I found some very interesting people both in Thailand and Vietnam and China, and started studying different acupressure and massage techniques, Tai Chi and Qigong I was introduced to there. And then I brought those things back to the States when I came back and kind of continued that practice. And, you know, like I said, I've been following this thread
right.
for, you know, the better part of 20 years. And it continues to nourish me and my family and the people that I encounter through this.
I met some interesting people in Vietnam, too, probably not the same way you did when I was sent there. But, you know, with all the talk about health care and, you know, all this yada yada stuff, acupuncture, what do acupuncture and traditional medicine offer?
That's a great question. You know, some of the problems in healthcare that we're facing today has to do with, one, it's too expensive.
Yeah.
Too expensive for people, and it really doesn't offer anything that they can take home. You know, where, how can they put it into their lives and take it home? So acupuncture, Chinese herbal medicine, Tai Chi, Qigong, meditation, all of these things are speak to the broader, the whole person. You know, not just a medical intervention that I have to pay $30,000 for. Something that I can do every day based on the thoughts that I'm thinking, what I'm saying to myself about those thoughts, my communication interaction with other people, what I'm eating, what I'm putting in my body, how am I getting my rest. All of these things are factors of health care and self-care that matter. You know, just like mental health matters, these things matter. This is not to be overlooked. Too often we're sort of, just listen to what the doctor says. Just do what the doctor says. Don't, you know, whatever they say, that's what I'll do. When really we have to take responsibility for our own health. It was something that was given to us, and we can nourish it and we can nurture it if we live right. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So acupuncture, Chinese medicine, traditional medicine is a very low cost preventative medicine. So when we prevent illness, when we prevent disease, when we prevent problems with our thinking, with our thoughts, with our behavior, through acupuncture, traditional medicine, meditation, these types of practices, we're taking responsibility for our own health. We're honoring this physical endowment that we've been given by our parents, and we're nourishing it, and that's how we get longevity. That's how we continue to prosper. So that's important. That's something that's I see as being overlooked in this healthcare debate.
Yeah, and it is a debate. In this structure of our country the way it is, people can be under a lot of stress. Loss of a job, breaking up of a marriage, yada, yada, all that's good stuff. And it can go on and on and on and on. Acupuncture treats stress like that. I mean, not as opposed to a physical ailment other than the stress of their personal life.
Absolutely. I mean, that's something that I work with daily in my clinic. You know, stress, you know, and John speaks to this often. You know, the conditions of the world are stressful. You know, that's something that is, that's the world. We can't change those things. But what we can do is we can change our reaction to that stress and what we do in response to a catastrophic event like a big hurricane. The people down in Florida and Texas and Puerto Rico, these things, it's tremendously stressful to have your home destroyed by nature. But it's nature. What are you going to do? You can't stop that. So the stress that we put ourselves under, not only just from things in the world happening, but also our own reactions to them, that's what we can control. That's what we can work on. That's what acupuncture is excellent at working on, because again, this goes back to the body being a self-regulatory system. It's designed to fix itself.
Right.
So, given the proper conditions, it will do that. When the body is out of balance, whether it's from stress or injury or illness, it's looking to return to balance. It's looking to return to its natural state. Acupuncture helps the body do that.
Okay. It
helps the mind do that.
Right.
So when the body is relaxed, when the body is at ease, the mind follows.
Okay. John, along with everything else that's all over today, mindfulness seems to be everywhere today.
Yep.
And are all mindfulness practices the same?
No, I don't think so, but that doesn't diminish other practices in any way. A good example of that is mindfulness-based stress reduction, which is something developed by a gentleman named Jon Kabat-Zinn, and it's a very effective application of mindfulness in diminishing the effects of stress and diminishing pain. There's been a lot of studies done, but it's simply a different type of mindfulness. So the mindfulness that I teach is to be mindful of this thing called the Eightfold Path, which is the framework that we integrate into our lives as a way of changing the way we look at life, changing the way we respond to the normal stressors of life. Matt mentioned the recent hurricanes and those cataclysmic events that are stressful for all of us, but there's an underlying stress that's common to every human being, and that's just the general unsatisfactory nature of most things. Most things are going to prove to be unsatisfactory simply because they change. Even those things that are making us happy in the moment won't last forever.
Right.
And so disappointment follows. If we're taking those things personally, we're going to create more stress in our lives just by taking it personally. If we learn that those things in life that are the common stressors aren't personal, they're just part of having a human life, we'll be able to maintain a calm and peaceful mind and not create any more stress. So again, a lot of the mindfulness techniques that are around today are taught more of a reaction to stress rather than a way of recognizing and diminishing our own reaction to stress. And that's a significant difference.
All right. If I, let's use me as an example. I come into your practice. What happens? What's the procedure?
Oh, well, the first thing I do, if you came to a class, and newcomers come all the time, you don't need anything, any prep before coming to a class. I'll give you a brief introduction to the meditation method that I teach and a little bit of an introduction to the broader framework, just so you understand the context. And then you'll meditate with us. And I'll encourage you to keep coming to class at least once a week so that you learn that broader framework of how to apply meditation properly. So I think it's almost irresponsible to teach meditation just a technique and say, okay, go off on your own and good luck, because what can often happen, if you don't use a proper meditation technique within a proper framework, you're often just going to reinforce that conditioned, confused mind that you came to meditation with, because you don't have any framework to recognize it and change it. You know? So that's really the important thing. The thing that I would stress is to learn a meditation method that an awakened human being taught within the framework that he taught it, and then very quickly you'll have some great benefit from it.
If someone came to your classes, say, I don't know how many times, you know, whatever, numerous times, put it that way, and they were coming once a week, and do you suggest that they do this at home daily?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I encourage everyone to meditate at twice a day if you can. But again, to start with short periods of meditation, 2 or 3 or 4 minutes, 5 minutes, is more than enough to start to establish a meditation practice and being part of a larger group, a meditation group that meets on a weekly basis at least and is well focused. And then to gradually add some time. If you try to meditate for long periods of time, even 20 minutes is a long time for beginners, you're likely going to just get frustrated and say, I can't do this, this isn't for me. But anybody can sit for a few minutes, and if you incorporate the entire framework of the Eightfold Path, very soon you'll have an effective and usually easily continued meditation practice. But the important thing, again, is to incorporate the broader framework and to be part of a group. Many, many people that come say exactly that. It's really the weekly support. Sometimes people come more than once a week, but it's that support of the group that really reinforces their condition, their commitment to their practice.
Well, I know real quickly, when this massive shooting took place in Vegas, it struck because I just was, you know, I went out on my deck and sat down. Like I said, I told you before, we live in the woods. And just looked at the trees and the sky and just listened to the birds. And, you know, it helped.
Yeah.
And that's my own version of meditation, you know, not anything that was taught or anything. And it just, because I was so angry, you know, such a waste of lives for no reason, basically. And, you know, it just helped calm me down, you know.
Yeah, because you got out of the mind state that was full of anger and rage and hatred and why did this happen? You're right, that's an aspect of meditation, or at least it's an aspect of mindfulness, meaning you change the quality of your mind by simply changing the environment that you're in.
Right,
It changed the entire experience for you.
Right.
You know, what an awful event.
It was.
When we start personalizing those events, and even reacting in anger or hatred towards the person that did it, we're just furthering that mm-hmm. conditioned response, and it's
right.
not helpful for anyone. And it sounds crazy to some people. Well, how could you not hate a person like that? But when you understand the underlying motivation is rooted in the wrong views of how he's seeing himself in relation to the world, you can understand it. It doesn't mean you approve it, but you accept it simply because it's what occurred.
Right.
And then we can take some real steps to maybe at some point have a society where this isn't such a common experience.
And I will say that in most circumstances, someone with a mental health issue is not going to be the aggressor, but they're going to be the victim.
That's right.
And that's a fact.
Yep.
Matthew, real quick.
Sure.
If I came to you, and you, I know, if I said I had back, you told me. But if I just come and say, gee, I heard about you guys, and, you know, what happens then?
Well, if you're coming for acupuncture, we just, you know, I'd have a
right.
intake form for you. You'd fill out the paperwork, and we'd sit down and talk a little bit. We'd go over your health history. I'd ask you some questions about what's going on. I'd ask you some questions about what's going on in relation to your history. Because I have to get to know who you are as a person a little bit in order to connect with you, to help. If it's cold person off the street, sure, no problem. We can do that too. But when we establish a rapport,
mm-hmm.
then there's a mutual benefit.
Okay. Now, if someone wanted to reach out to either of you or to both of you, how would they do that?
You could go to crossrivermeditation.com, and there's information about our classes. Matt teaches Tai Chi and Qigong on Tuesdays and Thursday evenings at 6, and I have a class that follows at 7:15. And then I also have a class at 8:30 a.m. on Saturday mornings. But all the information is there. Matt's website is?
Healingpathacupuncture.com. You can
what was it?
Healing Path.
Healing Path. Okay.
Acupuncture.com. And you can go to that. There's patient forms on there. There's information and frequently asked questions about acupuncture, about herbal medicine, about massage, and you know any kinds of things that you'd be interested in. There are also links to relevant sources.
Okay. Is there anything in the last 3 minutes that I didn't cover that you'd like to speak to?
I think we covered a lot of things. One thing I would mention, I do teach individually too. If people, some people are more comfortable learning that way, at least at first, rather than
okay.
coming to a class. There's info on the website about that. But a thing I'd really like to mention, once or twice a year, we have something called a Donna dinner in town, in Frenchtown. Donna means generosity. And so this is our seventh dinner. It's held at Love and Oven. It's an open, free dinner for anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Not just for Frenchtown, not just for Hunterdon County. Anybody that wants to attend, it's just a wonderful way for the whole community to get together and share a meal. Love and Oven cooks the main meal, and then people can bring a potluck to share.
Again, I've heard of Love and Oven. Is that a is that a restaurant?
Restaurant there.
That's what I thought. Okay.
29.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
And there's info on the website about that too. But again, it's open to everyone. So
when is it?
Oh, that's an important question.
It really, yeah.
It's Tuesday of Thanksgiving week, November 21st. It starts at 6 p.m. and usually finishes around 8:30 or 9 o'clock.
And it's held at?
Love and Oven.
Love and Oven on Route 29?
Route 29, Frenchtown.
Okay. And everybody's invited?
Everybody's invited.
Free
dinner okay. for everyone.
Is there a phone number that they could reach out to either of you or?
It's on the website, too.
It's on the website also? Okay. And the website, again, was?
CrossRiverMeditation.com and HealingPathAcupuncture.com.
Okay. One last question in the last 2 minutes. John, how did you come up with the title Becoming Buddha?
Wow, that is a great question. So the quick answer is that when Siddhartha awakened, he became a Buddha. And he spent the next 45 years of his life teaching other people to do the same. So there's a misunderstanding of even that, that awakening is beyond most ordinary human beings, when the truth of the matter is that he taught a way that anybody can become Buddha, meaning become awakened.
Okay.
In the way that he, and awakening simply means a fully mature human being that no longer reacts to the common occurrences of life.
Okay. That's just interesting because I just, you know, that just struck me, you know.
It's a good title, isn't it? Then?
Yeah, I think so. What am I going to tell you? No, it isn't. You know? No, I'm only kidding. No, it isn't. It is, actually. And the other one, the spiritual solution.
Yeah, well, the spiritual solution is for those in the 12-step community, meaning those with a problem
okay.
of addiction or compulsive behavior.
Okay.
And there's a line in with a book called The Big Book, which is the Bible for Alcoholics Anonymous.
Right.
It says that the 12 steps are the spiritual solution to the problem of addiction. So that's the title of the book.
Okay, so you do people that have addiction problems too?
Yep. Any type of addiction, or any compulsive behavior, the 12 steps or mindfulness-based recovery is very helpful
okay.
for those.
Matthew, you do also?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
PTSD, addiction, compulsive behavior, all of those things are a part of what acupuncture treats.
Okay. I can't thank you guys enough for being here. It's been a pleasure, again.
Thank you, Larry.
Always a pleasure, Larry.
And great. We will have you back.
Great.
Yeah. And thank you so much, and keep up the good work.
Thank you, Larry.
Thanks.
Always a pleasure.
And it's always been a pleasure. And remember, folks, mental health really does matter. See you again next week. Same time, same station.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located at the historic Large House, 119 Main Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit W.